This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Love the Blue Jays as much as you hate the Yankees and Red Sox and the Astros. You are listening to Toronto Blue Jays Baseball on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
The New York Yankees have completely turned things around since they were in downtown Buffalo. Winners tonight and now six consecutive wins for the Yankees. Blue Jays take a 20-6 loss. Welcome to the postgame show being brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. Let's take you through the totals in this one. New York with the win, now 27-21. The Blue Jays, 26-21 on the season. Yankees, 20 runs on 16 hits. That includes six home runs. Yankees did not commit an error at the plate. New York, 7 of 17. Runners in scoring position, leaving six men on base. Six runs, 11 hits, and one error for the Toronto Blue Jays, who get home runs from Lourdes Gurriel Jr. and Vladimir Guerrero Jr., on a night where Toronto goes 2-for-7 with runners in scoring position, eight men left on base. Yankees with a 20-6 win, and deservedly so because of seven sparkling innings for Davey Garcia, youngest New York Yankee since 1951 to go back-to-back with seven-inning starts as a 21-year-old. He went through seven innings, allowed three runs, all earned on six hits. He struck out six and issued a couple of walks. Taiwan Walker put behind the eight ball tonight because of miscues behind him. He takes the loss. He's 3-3, lasted only an inning and two-thirds, charged with seven runs, but one earned. Sean Yamaguchi got bounced around. He, too, was charged with seven runs. They were all earned, a product of four walks. Anthony Kay, Ken Giles, Ryan Barucki, and then Santiago Espinal, the position player pitching, closed it out for the Blue Jays. Walker, the loss, he's 3-3 this season in between Mariner and Blue Jay service time. Davey Garcia, 2-1 with the victory. The New York Yankees win it 20-6 over the Blue Jays in a ballgame that spanned 3 hours and 12 minutes. Our player of the game and the play of the game right after this. It's Blue Jays baseball powered by Jack Lynx on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Hi, this is Pete Walker, and you're listening to Blue Jays Baseball on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Back here at Baseball Control in Toronto, Blue Jays get their ears pinned back 20-6 by the New York Yankees, who batted around in the second, third, and fourth, combining to score 16 runs. This is a postgame brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. This is a very forgettable game from the Blue Jays' end, so let's get to our play of the game, and it came in the second inning. The Blue Jays had scored in the top of the frame on Vladimir Guerrero Jr.'s second career September home run, but the Yankees got that run back and more in the second. There was a dropped fly ball by Derek Fisher and another misplayed one into an RBI single by Brett Gardner. Tyler Wade singled to score another run, and DJ LeMahieu did the same. The Yankees had a 3-1 lead with two out and two on when Luke Voit put it on ice.
And Voit drives one high into the air, long, long gone, into the bleachers in the Bronx for Luke Voit. 3-run home run. Number 17 on the season for Luke Voit. He started the day tied for the major league lead in home runs with Nelson Cruz and Mike Trout. He just launched his first to move in front of the pack.
And he would launch another later in the night, a night on which Luke Voit drove in five, and the Yankees rolled 20-6 over the Blue Jays to open up the series. We got a minute left, Ben, so we got to pick us a player of the game.
Yeah. Where do you start, or where don't you stop talking about who had big nights offensively for the New York Yankees? I'm always impressed with what DJ LeMahieu is able to do with the bat. And if you look at that number one and number two slot, they produced 10 of the 20 runs between DJ LeMahieu and Luke Voit driving them in. And you had a combined 3 of the 6 home runs in that. But how about a four hit night for DJ LeMahieu, who pads the stats with his big night as the leadoff man? He's my guy.
Yeah, he was terrific tonight. He's a good choice. There are lots of good choices up and down this Yankee lineup. Luke Voit is another one. And I'm going to do it to the guy who I always make fun of every time the New York Yankees have a big win, and he's a big part of it. But Giovanni Urshela came off the injured list today after missing a week and a half with bone spurs in his elbows and hit the ground running. He doubled on the first pitch that he saw. He wound up doubling again. He walked. He singled. He scored four runs. Gio got the job done tonight, too.
Yeah, he really did have a nice comeback, didn't he? And he made a couple of really nice plays defensively, and I think that might be the bigger test for him to see how he's moving on the diamond with a couple of really challenging plays on the backhand.
And with that bone spur, he was throwing beautifully
right
across the diamond. He'll be a big help for the Yankees down the stretch. Blue Jays fall 20-6. We'll come back and get you set for tomorrow evening's action as we continue. Blue Jays Baseball is brought to you by Jack Links. It's the Sportsnet Radio Network.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. This is Toronto Blue Jays Baseball.
He's out! They got him at the plate! The throw was there. The tag by Jansen. It should finish the ballgame!
On Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Well, it doesn't get much uglier than that, folks. Woo-wee! That was rough. That was a rough one. 20-6, the Blue Jays fall to the New York Yankees. So welcome to Sportsnet tonight. Andy McNamara along with George Rusick with you until 1 in the morning. We'll be talking some Blue Jays, some NFL, some NHL, some NBA. Whole lot in between. George, I think from The Simpsons, Krusty the Clown sums it up best with that Jays game with this.
What the hell was that?
Ugh. Like that, dude. Come on, man. I know there's ugly games, but this is like, this is another one to the Mets 18-1 earlier last week, and then 7-2 the day before to the Yanks. This was disgusting.
Okay. These things happen, Andy.
Well, it's
fire the manager.
It's happening too often. It's happening too often. That's another blow. 18-1 beatdown last Friday. 7-2 the Yankees the day before that. Derek Fisher. I'm heated, okay. George. I'm
Why are you so heated? The team's 26-21. It's going to make the playoffs.
Derek Fisher looked like an 8-year-old playing house league baseball, and his dad told him to go play, and he didn't want to do it.
Okay.
And he's dropping. But come on, man.
You're that heated over this loss?
Yes.
The team's 5 games over .500.
That's fine.
What's the difference?
Lost a game to the Yankees. You lost it. That's a crucial game to the Yankees. Maybe it proves to be nothing. Okay? But that type of game, it at least raises questions as what the hell was Derek Fisher still doing in that? He can't be in the outfield. Like you got to bench him as at least just somebody to pinch hit. You cannot trot that guy out there for the rest of ever into right field.
Okay, you are Mr. Overreaction right now,
dude.
It's an unacceptable loss. Yeah, what's the difference losing? Yeah, I know you burn your bullpen, and that's huge.
Yeah.
And I take some joy in watching Espinal pitch because he's having so much fun out there.
But what's
the difference? You lose by 14 runs or you lose by 4 runs. It's still a loss. And you move on.
You said the bullpen.
Yeah, I get it. But thankfully, it's that type of year where you can have 50 arms on your team. Like, I don't get
that
it.
That is a plus. That is a plus.
I don't
plus.
Know why you're so upset. Oh, it's unacceptable, Obama. So what?
How he played? Mishandling hops in the outfield. Like, George, that was disgusting for a Major League Baseball player.
Yeah. So he should get DFA'd? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know if you have to go that far from the sense.
You literally said he should never play again.
No, I said he should never play in the outfield again. He should never play
in the outfield. Well, then what are they going to do? Put him behind the plate?
You can put him on the bench. You can have him as a pinch hitter if you want to. Have him come off. Have him as a pinch runner.
I know people don't want to hear this, and he's horrendous in the outfield. There's no question.
Yes.
But he's got a 919 OPS.
That's fine. Put him up. Where are you going to put him? DH him?
I don't really do that either. But I'm saying, his defense, there's much to be desired. And he is fast, allegedly. But
allegedly.
The stats are there. Right? He's 919 OPS is above league average, so he's an above league average hitter.
I don't think I've ever seen
It's got a 400 on base,
worst
Andy.
Worst outfield defense. Worst outfield defense. Andy, I don't think I've ever seen it in a pro game.
He's got a 400 on base. Yeah, he's only had 27 at-bats this season, but his numbers are good.
That was not so bad, though, George. That fielding. Like, have you ever seen a worse performance? I'm not talking about one botched play.
Consistent
botchery.
Okay, well, Teoscar Hernandez isn't Ken Griffey Jr. in the outfield either, so
He can do better than Derek Fisher.
Okay, yeah,
good
you'd hope so.
Lord.
But yeah, it's only one loss. It's okay.
Oh,
it's okay,
man.
Andy. Things will be okay.
But George, it killed poor Taijuan Walker, who we've loved since he's came over. It was a horrible night for every Jays pitcher all around. But that started the bleeding, and it never let up.
Yeah, and it's one loss. It's okay.
It feels worse than one loss, man. It feels worse.
Why? You just move on. It's a beat down. It's a shellacking, and you just hope to get them tomorrow, because that's what baseball is. The team's still firmly entrenched in a playoff spot, 5 games up on the Mariners.
Yep.
With this team. They're barring some crazy epic collapse of biblical proportions of 1987-esque.
Ooh, I like
this team is going to make the playoffs, and it's a successful year. Yeah, there's been two absolute laughing blowouts. They've been at the hands of the Mets, hammered them. Look what happened
in the rest
of that series.
Yep.
The Yankees embarrassed them tonight. There's still games left in this series. It's just one
Derek
loss.
Tomorrow,
yeah, it
though.
Sucks that you got to blow through your bullpen. You want some pluses from tonight? Vlad Jr. had some good at-bats.
One hit shot.
Three
of the
for
cycle.
Five.
Just need a triple.
Triple short of the cycle.
Yep.
Bo Bichette starting to look like Bo Bichette.
Shaking
like
off
things,
the rust.
Okay, yeah. And Derek Fisher stinks in the outfield. I understand that.
The worst.
Okay. But you're just overreacting
too
much.
I am so mad over that deep. Like, George, it looked like a house league kid. You go to watch your kid play and some dad dragged his boy there and he didn't want to play. That's what it looked like.
Okay.
Man. Gurriel Jr., 3 hits as well, right? There were some positives on the batting side. You know, like you said, I think Vladdy heating up and hopefully getting consistent at this time of year would be phenomenal, obviously. Mm-hmm. But now you face Garrett Cole tomorrow. I know Garrett Cole hasn't been the Garrett Cole of years past, but he's still good. And now Tanner Roark should, right? Mm-hmm. If he, you know, takes everyone's advice and actually pitches well, that's how you get late in games. Tanner, you pitch good and they probably won't pull you. You should get his chance. If he's decent tomorrow, he should get his chance to go a little bit deeper.
Well, let's hope so, right?
Let's
hope he is, right? Because they need a long outing from him. And it's the old, what was the David Price quote? Shut up and pitch better. That's all it is.
Right.
It's nobody else's fault, Tanner Roark. If you were out there dealing and hammering guys out left, right, and center, you still would have made that, you still would have went deep into your last start. So it'll be fascinating to see if he can bounce back, because he was one of those guys that the Blue Jays signed and said, wow, okay, not bad.
I like
you
the
know,
signing.
It's a good signing, good
yeah.
depth signing, guy you can put at the back of your rotation,
sure.
Give him some innings, and who knows how good he looks. Maybe Pete Walker gets his hands all over him, and he turns into that guy who's had a couple great years with the Washington Nationals. And he needs to be that guy tomorrow against the Yankees, against, you're right, Garrett Cole, who doesn't look like Garrett Cole. But how can you be so, I don't even know you can be overcritical, like over anything this season with guys who weren't performing, because it's such a weird year. It's such an off year. And Mike Wilner's going to join us soon. Is it time for us to have a mercy rule in baseball, honestly?
Oof. Well, you know
what? Is it time? Is it necessary to play the rest of this game?
Nights like
oh,
this,
please,
it seems like
please,
it.
Please, all you baseball purists. Oh, my God, the baseball
the
purists, please. You've did the whole thing's a DH. We're playing 7-inning doubleheaders. I think it's time for a mercy rule. We should talk to Mike Wilner about that.
And let's bring in Mike Wilner now, who I'm sure is very glad that game is over, calling that on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Mike, how are you? That was doesn't get too much uglier than that, man. How's it going?
I mean, it was pretty much just as ugly as that on Friday night too. So we've been treated to a couple of stinkers, in the last few days, but these are the things that are going to happen sometimes. When you play 98 one-run games in a row, you know, every once in a while there are going to be these too. You just hope you're on the right side of them more often.
Well, that's it, right? And let's start with Derek Fisher, Mike, and that was in the outfield. I want to get your take on it because it looked like the defense was ridiculous. Like, okay, people botch fly balls once in a while. Like, that was ridiculous how bad he was. Like, what do you make of that? You cannot put him out in the outfield again for the rest of this year, I wouldn't think. Like, it's inexcusable.
I mean, I don't know if I would go quite that far, but it was an awful, 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 awful night. And you certainly can't put him in the outfield in an important game or an important time in a game, period. You just can't. Whether it's the yips or whether it's something else, whatever it is, he misplayed five balls tonight in right field. Five. And there was only the one error, the one very catchable fly ball. Well, the can of corn that he dropped. The next pitch was catchable, but not, you know, it wasn't right there. But most major league outfielders make that play. And then there were three others that either bounced over his head or went off his glove or something that didn't cause any extra bases. But he had just an awful night. Look, it's easy to say the guy's been terrible, get rid of him, take him out of the game in the second inning. I don't know what good that does. I don't know that embarrassing him does any good. Obviously, they still see some things in him, and we've seen some things in him every once in a while that shows you why the Blue Jays picked him up and why they want to give him a shot and why they don't want to get Gio Urshela by him. You know, we said the same things about Gio Urshela when he was a Blue Jay that we're saying about Derek Fisher right now. He's terrible. And they did. And now all of a sudden he's like been an all-star for 2 years with the New York Yankees. I don't know that that's going to happen with Fisher, but I do think that they want to make sure it's not going to happen with somebody else. So they'll continue to give him chances. But I think that very definitely something's going on, and it's between the ears right now for Derek Fisher. And so, yeah, I would have had Jonathan Davis as a center fielder from day one, but then I think I probably would have missed out on Teoscar Hernandez. But I do think that until Teoscar comes back, it's got to be Biggio or Davis out there and not Fisher.
Mike, is this a case where the Blue Jays, because of the Aaron Sanchez trade when Derek Fisher came over, they just want to make sure that maybe sometimes organizations fall in love with those players that they acquire and they believe in them more than pretty much anyone else? And I'm talking in Ross and Mark here that, yeah, we really think this guy will eventually pop and he's getting more chances than maybe a normal major leaguer would?
No, I don't think he's getting more chances. I mean, when I was walking out of the studio, I heard you going over the numbers. He hasn't played that much. He's far from a regular. He's definitely not getting, you know, as many starts as Jonathan Davis has been getting lately. I think that they look at the Derek Fisher package and they look at what the data says, and the data says that he's got good strike zone judgment. He hits the ball really hard. He has terrific speed. We just haven't seen it. I mean, like, legitimately, we just haven't seen it. So, you know, I don't think they're going to cut bait on him just because he's had a few frustrating games. I think that they believe that the package of talent and ability is there, and it's just a matter of getting it out of him. So far, that hasn't happened.
In conversation with Mike Wilner, talking about the Blue Jays' loss to the New York Yankees here in Sportsnet 590, the Fan, Andy and George. Mike, let's get to some good side of things today. The pitching, no Vladdy. Man, that I can get used to that, right? One hit shy of the cycle. You look good. You know, Bo Bichette, couple hits as well, working his way back. If you look at the hitting side, some positive. Gurriel Jr. had three hits as well. Let's begin with Guerrero and just what you saw and thought out of him, and it does seem to be trending in that good direction at the perfect time of the year.
Look, Vladdy crushed a double into the gap. It was a laser beam. He hit a home run the other way, and granted, it's Yankee Stadium, and sure, 389 feet into the seventh row isn't something you get at most ballparks, but he knew where he was hitting, and he hit it with power the other way. He got a single in there as well. He did bounce into a double play, but that's a good day for Vladimir Guerrero Jr., and this is a guy that we saw run out of gas at the end of the season last year. It's only the second time he's ever hit a home run in September in the big leagues, and the other one was a week and a half ago. Good night for Vlad. Good night for Bichette. I was honestly surprised that he played the whole nine innings. So that's great that they weren't rushing to get him out of there and get him some rest, since he's only been back a couple of days. And he got a couple of hits as well. And Lourdes, that home run that he hit, it came on the pitch after Vladdy, I think, doubled. And he just, it was a rocket. And he had another good night. And this is a guy who is a week removed from being the American League Player of the Week. He's starting to heat up, too. And all those signs are good. The fact that Teoscar Hernandez, they're talking about him coming back on Thursday, which is a great sign for the Blue Jays. So, as frustrating as tonight was and as frustrating as Friday night was, it's important to remember that things are very much looking up in the macro for this team.
Oh, no question, Mike. I was kind of ranting about this before you jumped on. I know baseball with their stupid old traditions and people don't like change, but this season's just been change after change. Seven-inning games, DH in both leagues. Is it time for us to have a mercy rule in baseball? Because it just feels unnecessary that we had to play the last two innings of that game.
The thing that I would say about that is, if you want to pick on baseball for its traditions and all that stuff, no major sport has a mercy rule. All NFL games are 60 minutes. All NHL games are 60 minutes. All NBA games are 48 minutes. Doesn't matter what the score is. They don't stop early. John Lott of The Athletic in the third inning tweeted, maybe the Blue Jays should just stop and forfeit this game. That would have been really interesting. You know what? And I have to say, it wasn't an altogether bad idea. Not more than, I don't know what you do with a mercy rule. I get it, and I understand why, because it is kind of sloggy, but
yeah.
What is it, when it gets to 15? I can't remember what the World Baseball Classic mercy rule was. I think it was 15 after 5, 10 after 7, or something like that.
Sure, let's go with 10 after 7. Because what is the percentage of teams coming back down 10 runs heading after 7 innings?
Blue Jays did it in 89. I remember that game.
Ooh. Yeah.
Actually, they did it 10 into the 7. Not 10 after 7. But there's a chance. Like, that's the thing. Do you make it 15 after 7? And if you make it 15 after 7, then you still have to play through 7, a game that was 16-3. After the fourth inning. I don't know. I mean, if the other major sports did it, then I think that there would be more of an argument for it. Mm. But, this is the only one without a clock, too. So the only one where you actually, if you're down by 21 points in a football game with a minute and a half left, you're not coming back. But because the clock's going to run out on you, but baseball, it can't.
Mike, if we look ahead to tomorrow, put a ratty bow on this one. Tanner Roark, Gerrit Cole. It looks like with the arm usage tonight by the Blue Jays, as long as he pitches half decently, Roark should get his wish of going a little bit deeper, no?
If he pitches well enough, sure.
That's it. Just pitch good.
It comes back to the price thing, right? If you don't like it, pitch better. And that's the thing with Tanner Roark. He wants to face the lineup a third time, and he wants to get deeper into games. Get your ERA under 5, and we can talk. These are the things. You got to pitch better. And Tanner Roark is a guy who came to the Blue Jays with the reputation of being an innings eater, but that's not what Tanner Roark is. He's thrown 200 innings once in his career. He's a start maker. He's a guy who takes the ball every 5 days, and there's great value in that. There really is. We saw, you know, with the Blue Jays using 21 different starting pitchers last year. There's great value in a guy who's going to take the ball every 5 days, but generally he goes five and change, maybe six. This isn't a guy who has spent a whole career getting deep into ballgames. And honestly, he hasn't pitched well enough this year, and he didn't pitch well enough last year to have gained the benefit of the doubt to leave him in when he's struggling.
No, you're right. So we'll see how tomorrow goes. Hopefully a little closer of a ball game. Mike, thanks for jumping on tonight. Appreciate it.
You bet, guys. And I would just leave you with this. Remember that when the Blue Jays lost 18-1, they came back and they won the series against the Mets. And remember that in September of 11, maybe, Felix Hernandez won the Cy Young Award for the Seattle Mariners and pitched in a game in September against the Blue Jays against Sean Hill, who, God love him, the Mississauga native, it might have been the biggest pitching mismatch ever. Felix Hernandez pitched a complete game two hitter and lost.
That's a
wow. So, you know, things can happen.
Never
That's
know.
That's why they play
you
the games,
know.
Mike.
I want to play the game.
Right.
All right. All right, Mike. Talk to you later, buddy. Thank you.
All right, guys.
There he goes.
Oh, there's Mike Wilner. Just as long as Derek Fisher's not in the outfield, George, then I'm good. Never again.
What was Mike saying? Yeah, it's okay. It's a blow loss, and then they ended up winning the series. Did you hear that? What I was telling you earlier?
I'm still fuming.
Still fuming.
But yes, I did hear that. Fuming. It bothered me quite a bit.
We're going to morph into Sportsnet tonight in a sec. Before we do that,
yes.
I just want to throw out my poll question because I'm watching Jamal Murray and the Denver Nuggets right now with a lead on the Clippers, 78-70, 2:15 to go in the third quarter. Jamal Murray, 28 points. He's been an absolute monster so far for Denver. Who's the best Canadian athlete right now? Alphonso Davies, Brooke Henderson, Jamal Murray. Other, please write in. We'll tell you about the results of the poll straight ahead when we morph into Sportsnet tonight.
That's right. And at the top of the hour, so about 11:05, Joshua Howe, Raptors NBA writer from Sportsnet.ca, will join us. We'll talk Sal Capaccio, 11:25, Buffalo Bills writer Cynthia Freeland, NFL Network, and a whole lot more when we, as you said, morph into Sportsnet tonight. Andy and George, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.